Our gospel is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, and starting with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, free people of God. Praise be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time to enter into contemplation upon your Holy Scripture and your Holy Word. Dear Lord, indeed, make this Word become flesh for us. Help us to understand through the power of your Spirit. Move among us. Move through me as I speak and open our ears, including mine, for what the message is you have for us today. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, if someone asked you what the opposite of peace was, probably one thing that would first come to mind is to say war, right? And the witness of Scripture may point us in a different direction. And that is, it seems that in Scripture, the opposite of peace is fear. This is from 1 Samuel 17. Verse 24, wherever the Israelites saw the man, they're talking about Goliath there, wherever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. You know, I was trying to work on a definition of fear, just to kind of come up with one on my own, and this was my best effort, and that is, at its core, it's something that unsettles you to the point where it prevents you from acting. And there's probably better definitions out there, but that is an aspect of fear, is that it makes us stop in our tracks, and it makes us unable to decide often what to do. You know, Joseph struggles with another type of fear, not a fear of a big bully like Goliath, like the Israelites did, but instead the fear of taking Mary as his wife when she was already pregnant and he couldn't understand what was going on. This is verse 20 from our gospel today. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife." And so the angel gives voice to this wrestling that Joseph is experiencing, what has stopped him in his tracks, unable to decide what to do. And he comes and says, "Do not be afraid." And so that brings us to our name of God today, which is Lord of Hosts. And a host is a bunch of different things. It could be a great company of angels. That is a host. And it could be the armies of Israel. That is a host as well. And then also, it's those who attend to the needs of God's people, carrying out God's will for them. And so that, all those things are what hosts do. And you know, I thought that last definition was similar to our definition of it. And that is attending to the needs. It's what a good host does. And so all of those definitions are what the word host might mean. So Lord of hosts. The first time we hear this in the scripture is from Hannah. And that is in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And she is praying her heart out to God. You guys know this story well. And it says, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to God, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord of hosts, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. No razor will ever be used on his head. And so she's the first one to say this, Lord of hosts. She's crying out with a deep need. And you know, oftentimes our needs are often connected to our fears. If we need something and we don't know how to get it, that can be a fear for us. And that was the case for Hannah. She desperately wanted to have a son. You know, we talked about in previous sermons about Hannah. In this day and age, if you were a woman and you could not bear a child, it was not only something to grieve, but it was a social stigma as well. And so she's feeling all of those things. And so it goes without saying that Hannah and Joseph and the armies of Israel are all experiencing some type of fear. And that has taken away their peace. You cannot have peace when fear possesses us. And so it's instructive how God comes to answer each of these different types of fear in the lives of his people. The way he does is to communicate his peace to them. And that takes a little bit different expressions. But if we will do the same, if we will abide with the Lord of hosts, no matter what our fears are, no matter what our unsettlings are, then he will bring his peace to us. You know, Goliath, it says in David's quote in 1 Samuel 17:45, we'll read in a minute, said that Goliath trusted in his spear, his sword, and his javelin. And so he trusted in what he could see and hold. That's where he put his trust. And things that he could understand, right? But David comes about this very differently. This is 1 Samuel 17:45. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, whom you have defied." And so, you know, the temptation for us in our lives when we're afraid is to put our trust in those things that we can see and hold, rather than sometimes the Lord of hosts, things that we can understand like Goliath. So Goliath kind of gives voice to the temptation we have when we are at fear. But David comes and shows us a different way. And he says, in the name, I thought that was really cool because our sermon is names of God. In the name of the Lord of hosts, is where he puts his trust. That's who David comes before. You know, David doesn't have elaborate weaponry, right? If he had put his trust in things he could see and hold, he would have taken all that armor that Saul gave him. Do you remember when he offered him that? Offered him all his armor, and he's got so much in his list, this young man, and he couldn't even walk. He said, "I can't go with these," right? Instead, he just has a slingshot, and he selects some smooth stones from the brook. So he doesn't have elaborate weaponry. He obviously has a great size difference, right, between Goliath and David, which is still very much a part of our culture. You'll hear that in sports games all the time. It's David versus Goliath. It's the best team versus a team that isn't expected to win, right? And yet, despite all of those things, it's David who prevails. And I think that preaches a strong sermon to us today who may be unsettled right now, who may have fears, to place those into the hands of the Lord of hosts. Peter Gomes was the preacher at Harvard Memorial Church, and he wrote this during Advent about Joseph. He said, "You fear disgrace. You fear embarrassment and shame for yourself and for Mary. You fear public scandal. You fear that your reputation will suffer, but it will not happen. For out of this fear comes an opportunity that neither you nor your worthy ancestors could have imagined. And what is this opportunity that comes out of fear and alleged disgrace? It is this, Joseph. You will become the guardian of God. You will be the protector of the Savior of the world. You, Joseph, will become foster parent to hope. Even your lucky ancestor Joseph could not have imagined such an opportunity, and it has come to you unmasked, unsought after, and undeserved." You know, I think what Pastor Gomes helps us understand is that when we are in a state of fear, we're unsettled in our lives, there's a big void, right? And like I said, Goliath tried to fill that void with big weapons, things he could hold. Saul tried to fill it by giving David a bunch of big armor, things they could see and understand. But instead of that, if we'll place our trust in God in that void, if we'll give ourselves over to Him, that is when we will see the Lord of hosts go to work for us. You know, it comes back to that same thing in Advent we hear so much of John saying, "I must decrease and He must increase. Jesus must increase." And that filling that void, filling that space, and opening that door for God to work powerfully in our lives. You know, fear, whether it's bullies like Goliath, and that's a real fear for a lot of people, or whether it's the fear of trying to trust in someone something we don't understand, right, which is what Joseph was going through. Whatever it is, if we'll invite God into that space, invite Him into that void, into that need, and let the Lord of hosts go to work. You know, when David fought Goliath, it says he ran towards the battle line. And that's when he started, you know, whipping his sling and threw his thing. But he sprinted towards the battle line. So it's almost like David is, you know, rushing into this void, right? That's the closer you get to Goliath, the scarier it's going to get, right? Again, we see David as this model for us to trust God, to sprint to the battle line. And then, you know, despite having the armor and despite having all the weaponry and the things that maybe make us feel calm, he still prevailed. That's when peace comes, I think, if we'll walk into the void with the living God. We'll give it over to Him. And it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. But if we'll give over to him the things that we fear, the Lord of hosts will grant us the elusive peace that we desire. Even sometimes, if things, you know, don't go perfectly or isn't resolved perfectly, just knowing that God is with us, the promise of Emmanuel, can bring peace in the midst of war. And that's why I think war isn't the opposite of peace. You can still have peace in the midst of war, like David did, because the Lord of hosts is with us. You know what I really hear in Hannah's prayer is a surrender. I really hear a surrender in her prayer. And you hear that in Joseph's, when he comes out of his dream, that the Lord has sent the angel to show him. This is verse 1:24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. And so, you know, it doesn't spell out, man, he was really relieved, you know. We don't get to hear about all the things that Joseph felt. But the fact that he moves from that dream to embrace Mary and this life going forward, despite what the scandals may be and despite what people may whisper and say in a time when you could even die for these things, I think it shows us that he has peace to move forward. He's surrendered to the Lord of hosts. You guys know well from our song, Angels We Have Heard on High, and then also, of course, from the Gospel, Matthew 2, verse 13 and 14. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host, right there it is, appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to whom the Lord favors. You know, of all the things that the angels, the heavenly host, could have communicated on that morning of Jesus' birth, the thing they chose to communicate about this child was that he would bring peace. And so, you know, it's a great irony to think about when we're most afraid to surrender. That doesn't seem like what we should do, right? We should, you know, fight or flight or, you know, something like that. But if we will surrender to the Lord of hosts, then this moment of victory will come. And the moment of victory for David and Joseph and Hannah was indescribable and insurpassable peace. Amen.